upon each one of us, upon me, as I open your word to your people, and upon your people, so Lord, that we may receive it as though from your hands. Surround this place, Lord, in your care, in your love, in your protection. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please do take your seat. I think that what Jesus is teaching in this passage could be summed up in one sentence: don't stumble and don't be a cause of stumbling for others. I think that is really the message of this passage. Don't stumble and don't be a stumbling block. It all began when John told Jesus that they saw someone casting out demons in the name of Jesus. John explained to Jesus that they, the disciples, they tried to stop this man. Don't do it. We tried to stop him. But Jesus told them plainly that not to stop such people. Not to stop such people who cast demons out in my name. Those who set the people free, don't stop them. We, of course, don't have much details of the conversation between the disciples and the man in question. But it seems to me that the fellow, though was not part of the close circle of Jesus, though his name was not among those that who were as such set apart, yet he knew Jesus as a personal savior. Yes, in spite of that, he, I believe, was the disciple of Christ Jesus. What right have I got to say so because the passage doesn't say it? Well, first of all, Jesus allowed him to continue to minister. And the second is that you just go to the book of Acts, chapter 19, and just 3-4 verses, read it there, 13 to 16, and you will notice that no one, without knowing Jesus personally, can invoke his name and command the demons to go. There we have a story of 7 men who had heard about Paul, that how he could use the name of Jesus and set people free. And these 7 people, without having any whatsoever relationship with Lord Jesus Christ, said to a bad spirit that I command you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, go. And the result, you read yourself, what terrible self-injury and insult. But this man was able to set people free, give comfort to people, and the spirits, I believe, obeyed him. That is why John and the others reacted, because he knew Jesus. Well, the question I want to raise, that what was the problem with John and other disciples? Why did they react? I mean, that this man was doing a wonderful job. Why did they react? Was it that he was not part of the what I call the 12 magnificent? Or was it that this man's power and authority in the name of Jesus appeared greater to them than their own authority? I wonder what could be the reason. But one thing is for certain sure, that man's ministry did bother the disciples, but it didn't bother Jesus. Isn't it amazing that these close associates of Jesus, they were very bothered, but Jesus was not bothered at all. In fact, he seemed to be happy. My understanding from this passage and from the rest of the New Testament really is that as long as people are set free in the name of Jesus, as long as the hope of Christ is given in the name of Jesus, then it doesn't matter that to which particular group of people you belong. Whether you are set apart as the magnificent, or are you just part of the ordinary crowd. As long as the message of Christ is preached with authority, sincerity, it doesn't matter to Christ Jesus. And I can assure you, having attended this bishop's conference, that that is actually now very much the attitude of the Church of England. That yes, structures are important. Of course, nobody is saying that structures are not important. Structures are important, but most important is setting the people free in the name of Jesus, giving the hope of Christ to those who live one without. If you look at this passage, and those who oppose those sort of things, i.e. men like this individual, Jesus had something very strong to say. Verse 42 says, if any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. Do look at sometime in your convenience, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 8 to 13, and Romans chapter 14, verse 13 as well. You know that 8 o'clock service I was mentioning, that you look the church history, and perhaps you don't need even to go to look the whole church history, you just look the church history of this land, and you will find that God's Holy Spirit very often actually operates outside the normal structures. You have a look at the history, and that is what happens. You look at the Welsh revival, you look at the Methodist movement and so on. All these things happened on the fringes outside of the structures. That is, for whatever reason, the Holy Spirit works. I believe, I said earlier already, that structures are important. But I believe sometimes structures get so rigid. And sometimes we ourselves, because of our humanity, we make those structures so rigid that it stops the work of the Holy Spirit. But in my understanding from this passage, we should never be a stumbling block for a fellow believer, never a stumbling block for the work of the Holy Spirit. Christ called the church to be one body, moving like a wave in one direction. But it is often our humanity within ourselves that it seems that we are at a tug of war. Why it happens? Why it happens? Why do we Christians do that way? I honestly asked this question to myself in my office, and it reminded me a joke I heard from the lips of a visiting speaker in my village when I was 13 years old. So you can see that how old this joke is. The joke was that there was a man. He had a donkey. And the only possession, only family was that donkey. He did not have any other family, no other possessions but donkey. One day, he was just walking together with his donkey, and he reached the school door, a gate. And there he saw these young people, boys and girls, smartly dressed up, standing in little groups and chatting together, laughing and enjoying life. Man suddenly had such a sense of loneliness. He just wished that if he had somebody to talk to. At the same time, a teacher appeared on the school door. Anybody a teacher here? Yeah, well, it's not about you, it is teacher. When I was 13 years old, it's from that time. That teacher appeared, and the man with donkey approached the teacher and said that, what is this place? Teacher quickly knew that, he is pretty simple-hearted. He is not a very learned man. Teacher said, well, this is a school. And the man asked that, what do you do here? He said, well, we turn animals into human beings. Some of the teachers would say that, yes, that's true. That we turn animals into human beings. Man said, wow. If I leave my donkey with you, are you able to change him into be a man? And teacher, of course, knew that man didn't understand things. So he said, oh, yeah, leave the donkey with me. And man asked him, how long will it take? He said, well, just a couple of years. Give me and I will change him into a man. Teacher thought that after a while, this man will forget about and I will figure out something how to explain the situation away. Teacher took the donkey and just benefited from the donkey. Lo, the 2 years passed by and the man appeared on the school door and he saw the teacher. He ran to the teacher and said, what about my donkey? Has he become my son? Teacher thought very quickly, said, what to do? So he just turned around and he saw the police sergeant. Those of you like me, old people, that you know that when traffic was controlled by the traffic wardens or sergeants. So the sergeant was standing on a platform directing the traffic, his hands going like this, whistle in his mouth, blowing the whistle and going this way and that way. And teacher said, that is your son, the donkey has become a man. And the man was so happy, he dodged the traffic and reached the policeman. And with his usual way of calling the donkey, he tried to attract the policeman. And of course, policeman didn't understand a thing. So man thought that, gosh, he doesn't understand that I am his master. So he approached and tried to grab the policeman, thinking that it is his donkey who has become a man. No, policeman's hands were busy, you know, his mouth had a whistle. So he just kicked the man to get rid of him. So man turned back to the teacher and said that, you know what, you did a great job. He has become a man, but he hasn't forgotten his old habit of kicking. Did you get it? Yes, we are all called, and I give God glory that day by day we grow deeper and deeper into the knowledge of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, it is decades ago when I became a born-again Christian. But every morning when I get up, it is almost I want to cut my left hand, I want to cut my right hand, I want to take my eyes out because all my these limbs, they still remain ready to sin. But what Jesus is saying, don't be a stumbling block and don't stumble yourself either. If they are causing truly trouble to you, then sacrifice them. But of course, Jesus doesn't mean that we should cut and throw them away, because if that were the case, tomorrow you will have no rector in this church because every limb will be gone. What we need is to bring these limbs every day to Christ Jesus, to make him these, the instruments of his peace, the instruments of his deliverance, the instruments to give hope in Christ's name. And how I wish that we may remember that we are the body of Christ. And when we, you know, that belittle each other's gifts, when we belittle each other's ministries, you know what we do actually? It is not the fellow believer who we are hurting. Actually, we are despising the hand who is creating a masterpiece out of my brother and a sister, out of your brother and a sister. And he hasn't finished yet. He hasn't finished with me. He hasn't yet completed the work with any one of you. He is still working on that masterpiece. Let us learn to be encouragers of our brothers and sisters. Let us create space for each other to minister in the name of the Lord. Allow the Spirit to move freely among us, so we as a church, we truly will be able to set people free in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we will be able to call them out from the darkness into the light of Christ. But so what if it will not be through the message of the rector? And forgive me, Alan, so what if it will not be from a mighty message of the reader? If it is somebody else's message who brings somebody to the kingdom of God, then let it be so. Amen.